Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show. Matt Catrillo here with you on this Thursday. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, all sorts of pre-owned inventory. And a great service department, excellent sales staff as well. And it's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Bought your block cheese to go with your wine? Go ahead.
I have nothing to complain about today.
Come on.
I don't. Listen, the Sixers had a nice win against Charlotte last night with Joel Embiid going nuts.
Nobody even knows they're playing right now.
And the Flyers, you know, I've just kind of checked out on them right now because they're just very hard to watch.
Do the Flyers know that? Do the Flyers know that you checked out?
I think they know a lot of fans have probably checked out.
Actually, that's one of the reasons why when I talked to Sam Cerchetti, notice one of the questions I asked him, and that was, are the fans, because the Flyers have always kind of tried to Band-Aid, you know, stay relevant, stay in, you know what I mean?
Yes, and it was a perfect question because Sam is right. This fan base, including myself, wants a total rebuild. This fan base has actually been calling for Drew to be traded for the last couple of seasons now. And quite frankly, the ownership, it starts with the ownership, and I think they need to sell the team in Comcast. Chris Tarian, former Flyer, of course, even has said himself that there is a lot of incompetence at that level. And I agree. Really, ever since Ed Snyder died, there was no idea. No one has any idea what's going on at the very top.
Yeah.
From top to bottom, this whole franchise needs a rebuild.
Well, you know what? I mean, but that's, you have to have a fan base that is ready to accept a total rebuild. Now I'll give you an example of a fan base that's like sick of hearing about a total rebuild. And that, for example, that of course is, you know, like the Pittsburgh Pirates, because they're so poorly run. I mean, so poorly run that they're constantly, man, we're going to build up. We're going to get 5,000 prospects. Okay, great. Great job on the prospects. That the old saying is, we're doing so much work on the future, we have no presence. We have no present. And it's that's why you have to have a group of fans that sit back. You know what? Not only do I think they need to rebuild, but I think they'll do it right. See, with Pittsburgh, with the Pirates, they don't think that the fans don't think they can do it right. because to their credit, they've proved over and over again they can't do it right. So
exactly.
That's the problem. That's a big problem. All right. Tonight, Thursday Night Football, and I think this has a chance to be a really good game tonight.
Agreed. I'm a big, big Stiller fan tonight.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You actually are harboring hopes that you can actually get to the playoffs. I forgot. I got to give you credit. I mean, if your team were to make the playoffs, it would set the NFL back probably about 30 years. They're like, going, really, this team's in? It's like when Washington got in last year, like, going, really? That year Seattle got in, really? That's going to be a major, I mean, all kidding aside, a major issue for the NFL is if you continually get under 500 teams in the playoffs. If that starts happening on a continuing basis, you're sitting back and saying, are you sure you want to expand the playoffs any more than that? Now, I realize Washington got in last year because they were a division champion. I got that part. But they need to change a couple things about it. Number one, Washington should not have hosted a playoff game last year. Just like Seattle years ago against the Saints should not have hosted that game. In other words, once you get in, I think you're seeded 1-7, and whomever has the best record is the team that ends up hosting. That'd be one. That means Philadelphia will never have a home playoff game ever again. Just kidding! I'm sure you want to have a home playoff game, right? Wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be nice, but I'm just happy for a playoff game.
Do you have your quarterback back this week? You should, right?
Well, it's a bye this week, but then, yeah, I think he should be back next week.
Oh, so they can't lose this week.
That is correct.
Well,
I guess technically they can if they don't get the help that they're looking for, but...
So you need the Steelers. Do you need the Steelers to help you? So you're one of those teams that just can't help itself.
Well, the biggest one is actually rooting for Dallas because they got Washington. Washington's the real big culprit, but Minnesota's right in the thick of it, too.
Why don't you just beat Washington yourself?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course that's true, but, you know, it'd be nice to see them lose anyway. Whatever we can do to help all costs, taking care of our own business and having and getting help is I want to root for it all. But, yeah, you're right. The chances are right in front of them for the Eagles because they got Washington in two out of the next three games.
I mean, can't you just help yourself?
Well, hopefully.
I'm serious.
Yes. No, I agree. Mean, they should. I think at best they're going to split them, though.
Isn't that actually the right way to do it?
Correct.
You're scary.
And we're going to pick all these games later with the King, by the way.
No, I know. Then next week we're doing the Big Bowl one.
Yes, we are.
Now, is the suit going to join us for that? Or
I have not asked, so I will inquire and see if he'd like to join in.
I mean, you know, I think it would be a better show if he just, like wrote them down and then we could just read them off.
Well, he did mention to me yesterday that he only cares about the mid-major games anyway because that's the teams that he knows better.
Rest of America knows, like, the big guys, and he's the only one that knows about Kent State.
Correct. This is how it goes every year, though.
I just, based on audience, reaction, like, they seem to feel it's better when he writes it down and we just read them.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I've got extensive analysis. It's, okay. There's 44 games we have to pick here. Okay, we don't need to hear extended. Just name a team.
No, senor! Right? No, senor! No, senor!
And maybe a sentence as to why. Let's keep it to a sentence. I mean, when you sit in staff meetings, do you come to the conclusion I do he's kind of a scary dude?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells found.
I mean, Mertzi's on her phone the whole time, right?
Somewhat accurate, yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't you? I mean, if I were you, I'd, you know.
I mean, I think we all multitask in these meetings, and he does know
follow,
it.
Multitask? I wouldn't even be listening. And then not only that, I'd say it straight out. You know darn well, I'd say it right now. Hey, what'd you say?
Yes, because you've been on record of saying that before, not at just this meeting, but other meetings.
Yes. It's like, I have no idea what you're saying. I really don't. I don't hear a word you're saying. You got to give me credit. I'm not dishonest.
You are correct.
It's not the answer I was hoping for. Well, it's the answer you got. Okay. So, Mark Emmert went before Congress again today, talking about getting national legislation for name, image, and likeness.
Oh, my almighty!
Okay. Okay. The hay's out of the barn. Okay? Okay. Time to go away. You just need to go away. I mean, seriously. Hey, all these states have it. Right? And now they're sitting there. Right? And you've got people looking around and saying, name, image, and likeness is all over the place. It's all set. So you don't need to do anything. Oh, God. It's a tonight's list. It's a disaster. All right. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, but in private, I'll tell Matt what I'm talking about later. It's one of those, like, you've got to be kidding me. Why? What? Oh, God's sakes, what the heck? Why do you need that email?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
One thing, man, you know what? Maybe I ought to take a more active role in a couple of things I'm getting here instead of just like, okay, I'll do it. Maybe I ought to take a little more active role. Like, I got a couple ideas here. Let's just try it my way. It may draw listeners. All right. Oh. I'll tell Matt during the break. But he goes before Congress today, and you're like, what are you name, image, and likeness, okay, it's out of the bar. And he wants to hold on to this image of amateurism. Like, there's no doubt the value of a college education, because you've got 97% of football players don't go to the pros. They don't. College basketball, yeah, I mean, between Europe and so forth, technically you're a pro basketball player. Yeah, you can carve out maybe a nice 5 to 10 year career overseas. We've had Tyler Smith on the show. Tyler talked about the 5,000 things that he did to keep his career alive. So, yeah, you can do that, but the percentage is still 95 to 98% of college basketball players don't go pro. And so the college degree is invaluable. It is invaluable. That's taking advantage of your scholarship. And then you got a guy like this going before Congress. Well, we need to. If I'm Congress, I'm looking around going, look, I got a budget to take care of, things like that. Why are you even here? Why? Why? Well, I'd be looking around saying, who set this up? It's like. I hope you paid your own way. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us today. We got the King today. We got Donnie Collins today, Chris Soleri today, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Eagles can't lose this week.
Correct.
It's the most relaxed I've heard Matt all year.
But hopefully they can still win some this week, including tonight.
Boy, the Vikings win tonight, and you're going to be pacing. I mean, it's going to be, I mean, and then the Washington wins. I mean,
then I'll be pacing.
Motrin.
Then I'll be pacing.
Then all of a sudden, yeah, I mean, you're going to be, you know, like Motrin left and right. It's like, holy mackerel.
No, that'll be next week when the Eagles actually play Washington.
Again, you can take care of your own business.
Yes, I
you
know.
You just can't, you can't just go, right, in other words, I mean, you ever see the movie Mission Impossible Fallout?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it. I know where you're going with this, though.
There's a scene where he looks over, he says, we just have to hope they've never met. And the guy looks over, he says, hope isn't a strategy. Obviously, you're new. That's kind of like you. Hope, I mean, your strategy is hope.
Exactly. He used that with Sam Carcitti yesterday on the Flyers.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's your strategy. Hope. Really. I mean, that's how you go about your business? You hope the Eagles, that somebody else will lose because you're not good enough to win? Why don't you walk in with some swagger and say, we're good enough, we're just going to win the thing, we'll do it ourselves.
Listen, I wish I could say that. I think the Eagles are good enough to split with Washington. I don't know if they're good enough to beat them twice.
Chase Young's out. Sweat's out. You're fine. You know, Chase, go play him.
Still, I get that, but they're still playing really well now. I don't know about their chances against Dallas on Sunday.
I mean, you can't handle Heinicke? You can't handle Heinicke. You can't do it. I mean, that's where you are as a franchise? Taylor Heinicke makes you sweat?
Theoretically, I think we can, but yeah. You let Zach Wilson
again.
Looks good for a quarter last week, so.
Hope is not a strategy.
But you're right, yes.
Obviously, you're new. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Washington may sweep you, and you'll have to start getting text messages from Roger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the suit has been pacing all day. Steelers are playing tonight. He's nervous.
Actually, that's correct, but for other reasons.
Oh, I mean, just because of the rumors of job security. Don't let it bother him. Oh, he wasn't supposed to know about that.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. That means so much. You're going to get more for your trade-in, it seems, than ever. And a great sales staff that will work with you. They want to save you money. And the service department, think about it. You know, if it's difficult, they can handle it. Routine, they're always great. And not only that, fabulous with inspections. It is all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. But Chris Soleri in a moment. Now, obviously, we have a lot of great advertisers on the show. What is it? Is it the Stony Hill Tree Farm?
Cole Stony Hill Tree Farm, yep.
Yeah.
In Milton.
In Milton. And they're one of them. And it's interesting here in the State College area. There are a couple places that are like that. And two of them are done. There's a place called Tannenbaum's. And it's an older couple. And they've been living in Ohio. At one point, they started doing the Christmas tree thing to help pay for their kids' college and everything. Well, of course, that was 25 years ago. Well, now they're both in their 80s. And they're getting out, and there's nobody in the family to take over. So their last trees are up against the fence now. There's also one when you come in on 322, after you go past Tannenbaum's, a place called Coons. Well, Larry passed away. All right? And Larry was old. All right. But they're closed for the season. So when I hear about Cole's Stony Hill Tree Farm, right? I mean, despite the, kind of poor acting on the one guy's part. I mean, can we get him lessons? I mean, he's kind of like, don't you think, I feel like the suit defines Off-Broadway, don't you?
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
Hey, so my point is, hey, it's a fun time of the year, it's a great place to go, and you know what? We need to support our local people as much as possible. How about that? That's my point. That's my point. So, I'm using them as an example. But you know what? Maybe I'll pop over there on my way in for the holiday party, which I'm seriously considering going to. I mean, it's a Sunday afternoon, but I'm seriously thinking about going. Yeah, maybe spend an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great spot. You have the tree farm, plus you have the Christmas ornament shop.
I know. And that's really cool. So, I'm, and then I'd stop in for an hour at the, say hi to Lawrence, some of our great advertisers, Mertzi. Is there anybody else I'm supposed to say hi to? I'm trying to think. Will Doug be there? No. It's got to be somebody else. I'm sure the chief will be there, right?
Chief works with somebody. S-U-I-T, that spells SUTA!
No, I kind of want to go and have fun. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes. I'll say hi to the suit as well. Give him a big hug. Then I'll hit the road. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Let's get to Chris Soleri, Detroit Free Press, joining us from a certain Midwest airport that has a lot of traffic. Chris, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Glad to be here from O'Hare as the announcement, of course, chimes in right when you cut to me. I have seen a lot of Steelers fans between Minneapolis and here in Chicago en route there. So
yeah.
I anticipate it being like everywhere else and kind of a takeover.
It's always a takeover with the Steelers. Always.
It really is. I mean, I was 2 days ago when I got to Minneapolis? Well, yesterday when I got to Minneapolis. So 2 days before the game, there were already people out walking around. And I'm not exactly sure why you would go to Minneapolis in the beginning of December and as a tourist destination if you're not going for the game, for the game. But, I mean, to each their own, I suppose. Maybe they're a Steelers fan from Alaska and it's like summer there. I don't know.
Maybe, but I always love, where are you going to go? I'm going to go to Mall of America. And like, it's just a gigantic mall. Let's be straight here. It's just a bigger complex of stores.
it's like a throwback in time anymore with all the malls. I mean, what was it, Nittany Mall there?
I've seen it
there, and it's just like every other mall in Western Pennsylvania where it's like the land that time forgot because it's gotten, so many stores have closed up and it's just turned into something different.
Crazy. Hey, last night's game, one thing I noticed in doing some pre-work on Michigan State was they turned the ball over more than they usually do. And last night they had turnovers, and not only that, they didn't create any last night. What did that play into what we saw last night?
Well, they actually cut down their turnovers quite a bit in that game. I think they had finished with 13, and they only had five in the first half and building that big lead. But what you see is when they do commit them, they're so bad. I mean, they had at least two or three of them in that comeback from Minnesota that just went the other way for touchdowns. And, that's the stuff that Tom Izzo just drives nuts. I mean, it's one thing when you've got turnovers in transition and you're pushing the pace and you're trying to do things. It's the half-court turnovers that are maddening right now because, whether it be bad passes or dribbling off your foot or trying to do too much with a behind-the-back dribble at the free throw line, which we've seen repeatedly from a couple guys. You know, that's gonna get any coach really fired up. But yeah, I mean, and, you know, I think in terms of forcing the turnovers, you know, they've been a really good shot blocking team, so that kind of
doesn't
show up in the turnover category. But in a way, those are turnovers as well. So
yeah,
and I think Tyson Walker eventually, he's kind of easing his way into this, but I think he is an outstanding dynamic force on the defensive side that's really changed the way that they've played from a year ago.
Because the spurts I saw from Minnesota last night, because this is after I got home from doing my game, the spurts I saw last night were the dreaded LBTs, live ball turnovers. Those are the ones that just kill you and create runs. And Minnesota got a couple of runs because of live ball turnovers.
Yeah. I mean, they were up 19 and ends up a 6-point game towards the end there. You know, 2-possession game in the final minute. That's all based on not just the turnovers, but the momentum that comes from the way those turnovers go, you know. So you might have a turnover that goes the other way, but if you're on the road, you know, especially in a place like the Barn where the crowd can get on you in a hurry, you know, one turnover for 2 points can sometimes be 7 or 8, really, when you look at things in a momentum swing.
Every player develops at their own pace. What have you seen in the development of Marcus Bingham in the middle for Michigan State over the past, especially the past year?
Well, he's been such an... I mean, you talk about someone who's been considered a project. I mean, he came to Michigan State as a really, really skinny kid, like maybe barely 200 pounds and 6'10". He's now 7 foot and probably about 220, I would say. And they've struggled to put weight on him because he's got just that long frame, and believe me, they've tried every single possible way, and this kid just wouldn't be able to hold weight, but he's added some strength, and I think that's been a big thing. Last night was probably one of his worst games of the season, but he, in part because he, I don't know if he tweaked his ankle or his knee in transition on a play, and it seemed to affect him the rest of the game. He didn't look the same, but he's building his stamina. He's obviously a tremendous shot blocker. And when I talk about Walker, you know, I talked with Bingham the other day about this. A lot of what they're doing right now on the perimeter defensively is funneling guys. If you're going to get beat, Bingham wants you to come at him because he can block your shot. And his goal, he said, is to get 4 to 5 blocks a game, which is amazing. But when you've got that kind of wingspan and you know, you've got the elevation. I mean, the kid was a guard until he hit a growth spurt, I think his freshman or sophomore year in high school. But if you've got that kind of shot blocking ability, that's a good way to do it. And he's really done a tremendous job with that.
Yeah, because I mean, every time I watch him, I just feel like he gets a little bit better every time. And he's the kind of player that I feel like Michigan State can gamble a little bit more out front when he's out there because he can clean up a play.
He really can. You know, he's very good positionally. You know, where some of his limitations are on the offensive end, sometimes it's decision making in terms of taking longer or outside shots, which aren't necessarily his strength. He can, but it's not fully developed part of his game yet. You know, some of it is that, you know, when he tries to post up, he just doesn't have the girth. I mean, he doesn't have the size to bang with some of the bigger guys. So, but he's a great example of Tom Izzo when he talks about the process of building and growing. And, you know, freshman year Marcus Bingham looks nothing like this.
No. Yeah, but I'll say this. You know, he's very underrated that people may forget about. He's a very good free throw shooter. So when you do foul him, he's going to get points.
That comes from that late growth spurt, you know, because he spent his childhood more in the guard realm. And sometimes that takes beating out of a guy when he hits the growth spurt, you know, in terms of outside shooting and trying to do too much with the ball on the perimeter. But they've done a good job of working him with that hook shot in the post. And Izzo's been complimentary of him. He said he's unstoppable when he goes to it. And for the most part, he has been pretty. I bet he's probably hitting about a 70-75% clip on that little hook in the paint over guys because he's got such a length and advantage on them with the wingspan.
No question. You mentioned Walker earlier. Yeah, everybody has to make a transition in a level. So from Northeastern to here, what's the transition been for him, and how's he settled into it?
Well, last night was the best game that I've seen from him offensively. He was aggressive. He was attacking the lane off the bounce and shooting outside early, and I think that built his confidence. I think, you know, part of this is why there's been so many turnovers for this team early on, is they're working in him and AJ Hogard from out near Philly, you know, as the two primary point guards. And there's always going to be some transition when you bring in one guy, let alone two. Hogard's the guy I talk about with that behind the back dribble at the free throw line that is starting to drive Izzo crazy. But Walker is really a steady half court guy. You know, he's the guy that gets them going in the half court. I think when he's starting to take that turn to being an offensive producer. And I think that was the thing. I mean, he had some big games at Northeastern. He had a big game last year against North Carolina, which I think was the reason that he decided, I want to take this transfer year and try and prove myself to the next level. And he's got the skill set. You can see it. It's just a matter of building the confidence, understanding, you know, the little nuances, like where guys want passes and when do I need to fake and drive. And, you know, if I drive, where's my kick, or am I taking it to the rim? So, you know, those are all little things that, you know, if you're playing point guard for Tom Izzo, you better understand and know. And I think coming in as a veteran, he's trying to get that blend. Izzo's really happy with him, particularly in the defensive side, because they were terrible last year defensively. Izzo's talked about that a lot. And Rocket Watts and Foster Lawyer and aged and injury-hampered Joshua Langford out in the perimeter were big reasons for that. These guys right now are playing great on the perimeter. It starts with Walker.
Rocket Watts drove him nuts. Okay, I mean, you and I both know. I mean, Chris,
square peg, round hole.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He just did not fit in any way, shape, or form. Gabe Brown seems like he's just a steady guy all the time. Is that what they're giving him right now? Is he like that stabilizer up front?
You talk about Bingham's development. I mean, him and Brown are in the same class, and I think you remember back a couple years ago when they were freshmen and they made that run to the Final Four. They were goofy guys on the bench, and they've really kind of if you would have told me, you know, 3 years ago that those two guys would be kind of stabilizing forces, I would have thought you're crazy.
But right,
the really doing grown.
Yes,
I mean, and he has been. He hits big shots when they need him to. He does his role on the defensive side. I mean, he's not Aaron Henry as a defender, but, you know, he's good. He's got a long wingspan. But, yeah, he's really played calm and measured and hasn't fired up the kind of shots that he used to. He's taken good shots, maybe even less than I thought he would take at this point in the year. But they've got some balance right now that allows him to do that. But, yeah, I think you're starting to see him kind of elevate his game as a leader. And he really put a lot into being a captain. I mean, there are guys when you look at them and you think it's just a name and title, this means something to him. He's really tried to change who he is as a leader to be that steadying presence. And I think it's starting to show here.
Yeah, no, but that's amazing how that happens. I mean, you know, these would be the goofy guys on the bench, and all of a sudden you sit back 2 years later and say, boy, somebody grew up.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, is like it's one thing to be the goofy guy, it's the other thing to channel that into being the energy guy.
Right.
And I think that's what he's done a great job of.
And I got to ask you about Malik Hall, because he's always a player I've liked. He's not the greatest player on the planet, but he's got talent. How's he developed?
Boy, I'll tell you what, that game last night, he was looking aggressively for his shot. He's had a couple of those kind of games this year. He had that game a couple years ago at Seton Hall, 2 years ago, where he hit everything. He had another one of those games down in the Bahamas in the opener against Loyola, tweaked an ankle. But since the last two games, he's been really steady and more aggressive at shooting, you know, looking for his outside shot, which I think has really progressed. He's actually, to me, one of the few guys on that team. Well, I shouldn't say one of the few guys, because they're hitting at a really good clip right now, but it's surprising a little bit that he's one of those guys that you see get the ball and just expect it to go in from outside. You thought maybe that would be Joey Hauser, but Hall has really kind of emerged as that. He's attacking the rim. He's going to the boards. I mean, as much as we talk about Brown being a captain, Hall being a captain right there with him, he's done a pretty good job, you know, minus that injury, to steady himself to be a constant contributor.
Hey, Chris, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. Safe trip back, by the way. Wave to the Steeler fans as you go through the airport.
I will. I'll make sure that I go into some injured draw. We didn't even get to talk about Pitt.
I mean, let's give Pitt credit. I mean, look, they had a great year. Pickett had a great year. You know, nobody watched the championship game, like literally nobody. But they're going to play Michigan State. So what we'll do is we'll set up something to talk about the Michigan State bowl trip. That should be pretty interesting to talk about.
Yeah, let's do that before the bowl game, because I think there's just a fascinating amount of storylines that go into that, and I think it's going to be an interesting one for me, at least personally, if you have all these Pitt fans down there.
Oh, I know. All the Pitt fans? Chris,
well, I mean, they were in Charlotte. Whether or not they're going to make the second trip, who knows?
I mean, they're both going to be there. So,
well, we'll see if Pickett will be there playing, and we'll see if Walker's there playing.
Yeah, that's one thing that's interesting about this. You know, something, things that we never thought about 15 years ago, that's all changed now. So,
yeah, it really has. Yeah. It really has.
Hey, Chris, I'll see you Saturday, bud.
All right, sounds good. Safe travels to you.
Yeah, safe travels to you.
Chris Solari, Detroit Free Press. Donnie Collins next half hour. And then the King the final half hour. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Did you see one of the prints? It's the suit's home. Like, okay, I thought you're supposed to buy it. Just kidding. Yeah, I was all set to buy it. I'm like, oh, I don't want to buy that. Not only that, you notice there are like several security guards there in the picture. Like, I don't know. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. I'm reading articles today, like, did Joe Brady deserve to get fired? Analyzing his philosophy, concepts, personnel, and adjustments. You know, it's what's so interesting about that, and I've told you this before, sometimes you'll see somebody come in as a grad assistant, and you'll be like, wow, they got something. And other times, like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, it does a good job, but, like, doesn't, like, stand out, blow you away. And sometimes it's because they do other things behind the scenes you don't see. Joe, for example, was outstanding at the computer. Joe Brady, really good on the computer. But no offense, he didn't blow me away watching him as a grad assistant for 2 years. So I was like, okay, fine, because it was Joe Morey, it was his show. Okay. You will get another job. No getting around it. Next half hour, Donnie Collins. I'm going to get into Donnie a little bit about the Lackawanna Junior College connection, which is really important.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.